here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or Else Media.
Let me ask you a question. When was Action Comics number one published? It's got a cover date of June 1938, but when did it actually hit the stands? You know, it wasn't until this past year that I discovered that this one question is a hotly debated topic among comic book fans, especially Superman fans. And while I've not heard of anybody losing friends over the question, I felt it was time to get it all out on the table and out into the light once and for all. From Steven R. Else Media, this is Season 1 of The Comic Book Show, Episode 7, Dategate, an Action Comics conspiracy.
What is your favorite thing in the world?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No,
wait, it's all about comics. Comics!
Hello and welcome to The Comic Book Show, the podcast that's a show about comics. I'm your host, my name is Steven, and yeah, this is episode number 7. This was originally going to be classified as a bonus episode, but to tell you the truth, your average podcast listener does not listen to bonus episodes. Nope, they just skip over bonus episodes just as they would the theme song to an 80s sitcom that they're binging on any of the streaming services. Heck, I do it myself from time to time. See, it's my experience that much of the bonus content out there in podcasting land, well, it's like the bonus content on a DVD. While one, maybe two of the features will be quite excellent, the other 90% adds nothing to the conversation and actually appear to have been added by producers only because they could, or, you know, maybe just to fill the space. But here's the thing, and I cannot stress this enough, that's not what you're going to get here. And that's why I'm not categorizing it as a bonus episode, because it's not just filler. Oh no, my friends, what you're about to listen to, plain and simple, is just some real good shit. So do yourselves a favor, folks. Don't skip over this one. Because if you do, well, there's very little that I can do about it. But for you, my friend, FOMO is a real thing. That's fear of missing out. And if you've never suffered from it before, skipping this episode has the potential to fill you fully with the FOMO, like big time. People are going to be talking about this episode for generations, but you, if you skip it, well, here's what's going to happen. Five years from now, when you finally succumb to the peer pressure and give the episode a listen, you'll enjoy it, sure. I mean, you're going to enjoy the freaking crap out of it. And yet the whole time you're going to be wishing that you had listened to it back when it first came out. Because you're going to suddenly realize you have missed out on the joy of experiencing this episode with everyone else. You know, while it was big and in the public eye and everyone was talking about it. And that, my friend, will be on you. Look, all I'm trying to say is that here in season one of The Comic Book Show, you're going to get at least two more episodes.
Hooray!
This one here, episode 7, and then after this one, episode 8.
Yay!
But here's the thing. While both of these next episodes will deal with Superman, they're not necessarily going to be about John Byrne's 1986 miniseries. In fact, here in episode number 7, I wanted to talk about Action Comics number 1. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right, right, right.
You know, I figured that on one hand, John Byrne's Man of Steel was all about Superman's first appearance in a post-crisis DC universe. So, logically, going over to that other hand, it'd be fun to talk about Superman's first appearance ever, which we all know happened to be in Action Comics number 1 from 1938.
That's what they say.
But then something happened during the pre-production process of what should have been an episode all about Action Comics number 1. See, last night, as I was putting my show notes together, you know, gathering all those scraps of paper I'd scrawled information onto throughout the tedious but rewarding process of research, and then compiling all of that information into one cohesive and coherent narrative, or, as we in the business call it, scripting up an episode, I got stuck real fast on the bit where I would normally tell y'all when the issue was published. Why did I get stuck? I mean, Action Comics number 1 was published on April 18th, 1938. Everybody knows that, right?
It was common knowledge.
Great Caesar's ghost, people! There's a whole day of celebration around it called Superman Day. Or is that June 12th? You know what? Don't even get me going down that particular rabbit hole because, yeah, it's a whole thing with very little info to be found that explains how Superman Day can fall upon two different days. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that's not why I've gathered you here today. No, I brought you together so that I can try and wax intellectual regarding just exactly when Action Comics number 1 hit the shelves. Because, well, it's a bit of a conundrum. It's a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma, baked between two slices of obscurity, cloaked behind darkness and secrecy, before being moved and then hidden, lost to the world inside a nebulous cloud of impenetrable ambiguity, and obscured through an inscrutable vagueness. But fear not, folks, for after using a slippery assembly of seriously severe synonyms, along with alliteration that, to be fair, often feels unnecessary, I have set out to crack this case.
The game is afoot.
Hold on to your hairnets, folks. Secure all your loose objects. Chuck the butter back into the fridge. Put the cattle into their good shoes. And try not to fall asleep as I take you on a journey through time. And if you're lucky, through space as well. All in an effort to solve the unsolvable and to unravel the mystery of Dategate, an Action Comics conspiracy. The day began like any other. I gingerly pulled myself out of bed with a few grunts, a handful of groans, and plenty of swearing as my half-century body, shocked by the fact that it was still alive, was forced to acclimate itself once more to the act of moving about. Once awake and under the influence of a bewildering variety of over-the-counter pain medications, I roared through my day like a boss, getting shit done. Until finally, with the sun set and dinner eaten, I sat down to script up what I thought would be my first bonus episode for season 1 here on the Comic Book Show. Since then, of course, I have changed my mind, and I created episode 7 instead. We talked about this.
Did we?
Now, as you'll recall, I had just spent 6 amazing, thought-provoking, possibly award-winning episodes delving into the story that introduced Superman into the post-crisis DC universe. And for me, it just made sense to create a bonus episode to talk about Action Comics number 1, an anthology comic from 1938 that featured a 13-page story called Superman, Champion of the Oppressed, that introduced the world to the Man of Steel for the very first time. But then, as the mystics often spout in their infinite wisdom, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Or maybe it was, there's many a slip twixt a cup and a lip. You know what? It doesn't really matter. What I'm trying to get to here, in a way that, if I'm being honest, was crafted mainly to pad out the length of the episode, because let's face it, folks, while longer episodes aren't necessarily better, when they come from me, they're 100% certified gold. At least, that's what my mom tells me. Anyway, normally if I'm going to do an episode about just one specific issue of a comic, I want to make sure that I do a few things. First, mention the comic and the issue number, you know, like Action Comics number 1. Next, mention the publisher and the date the issue was published. Maybe even throw in there how much the issue cost, you know, if it was published a few decades back. And finally, I like to mention the creative team and how they contributed to the issue. Here's an example from the latest episode of Hither Came Conan.
Today we're looking at Conan the Barbarian number 27. This issue sports a cover date of June 1973, though it hit the stands in March. It sold for just 20 cents, and it is entitled The Blood of Belhisar. It was written by Roy Thomas, with pencils by John Buscema, inks by Ernie Chan, the letters were by John Costanza, and Glennis Ween was the colorist.
So yeah, fairly simple stuff. Well, and again, generally speaking, as I am preparing my notes for an episode, I hit the internets to gather up that information, which is exactly what I was doing last night before I ran up against a wall. That wall, my friends, was the publishing date. This date is very important to me. If there's one thing you should know about me, it's that I don't like giving out incorrect information, especially on a podcast.
I don't know why I do that.
And I've been burned by that publishing date in the past. For years, not knowing any better, I'd been using the cover date as the date the issue was published because, well, why not?
Why not indeed? Yes. Why not?
I mean, most official places online that aren't necessarily comic book specific use the cover date as the publishing date. It wasn't long, however, before I learned the truth.
I swear to tell the truth, the old truth, and nothing but the truth, so anyway.
See, the comic book industry does what the magazine industry does. The date on the cover, often called the cover date, is technically the pull date. In other words, this date, the month and the year, indicates when retailers should remove the comics from their shelves to make room for new issues. To use DC Comics as an example, this is usually 2 months later. So a comic released in March will have a May cover date, which again means that it hits the shelves in March, but should be pulled from the shelves in May. What I'm trying to say here, folks, is that if you do a deep dive into my podcasting past, you'll find me saying stuff like,
"Today, we're going to go back to the 80s and talk about Captain America issue number 315, published by Marvel Comics in March of 1986.
When, in fact, the book hit the shelves on December 3rd, 1985. That's why with that Hither Came Conan clip you heard earlier, I make it a point to say,
this issue sports a cover date of June 1973, though it hit the stands in March.
I just don't want to be wrong, or at least I try to avoid being wrong as much as I can. And though I am conscious enough to know that I still manage to allow the occasional false fact to slip through now and again,
I don't know why I do that.
It's one of my biggest fears when it comes to podcasting, confidently spouting out the wrong shit that I think is the right shit. And so last night, as I prepared my notes for my talk on Action Comics number 1, I did what I always do whenever I'm preparing for a podcast in which I'm talking about one single issue.
Well, you know, I do what I do when I do what I do.
I went to Mike's Amazing World of Comics at mikesamazingworld.com to gather all the information I would need, and more specifically, to get that publishing date. Now, to be clear, I was just trying to verify what I already knew. You know, just checking to make sure I wasn't going to give out no bad info. I did feel kind of stupid checking on it because we all know, all of us comic geeks, we all know that Action Comics number 1 was published on April 18th, 1938. Like I said, it was Superman Day just this past April 18th. I mean, I remember DC making a pretty big deal out of it. Plus, back in 2022, when I launched the Superman Super Show with Ed Moore, we dropped our first episode on April 18th because we were going to read and then talk about all the Superman comics, starting with Action Comics number 1. And we wanted to launch the same day the issue dropped, just 84 years later. However, despite being nearly 99% certain that I was correct, I still had to check because of the fear.
You don't want to give in to the fear.
And so I sat down at the old computer and I made a quick visit to Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Once there, I did my search. I pulled up the page for Action Comics number 1, and it tells me that the cover date is June of 1938, which so far is like, yeah, tell me something I don't know. But then I run into a bit of information that turns my heart into ice. Looking through the Action Comics number 1 page, I didn't see an on sale date, which usually follows the cover date there on Mike's site. Instead, I see something new, a designation I had never before encountered on Mike's Amazing World of Comics. In place of the on sale date, there was an approximate sales date. Well, my jaw went slack as I just sat there staring at the screen. Eventually, my eyes began to water and drool was soaking into my beard, but I found that I just couldn't move. I was struck dumb by the date that appeared there on the screen as the approximate sales date of Action Comics number 1. May the 3rd, 1938. My mind raced as I continued to stare through my monitor. May the 3rd, 1938? Well, that just had to be a mistake. I mean, Mike had never let me down before, and it was an approximate sales date. Still, it wasn't at all what I had expected, and I suddenly found myself wrapped tightly in a deep feeling of malaise. However, considering that I'm the kind of guy that never gives up, that never surrenders, that will never go quietly into that good night, I stood and thrust my chin defiantly into the air, doing my best to ignore the spray of drool that spattered across the computer monitor. Instead, I stood even straighter, fists on hips, chest thrust out so violently that anyone else in the room may have fainted from the sheer terror of my supermanly pose. But I didn't have time to dwell on how cool I certainly looked.
You think you look cool.
Instead, I had to get to the bottom of this mystery I'd stumbled upon, and it was at that very moment that I realized that if I wanted to continue, if I wanted to move forward, if I wanted to record the damned episode already, I was left with but three choices. And frankly, I wasn't happy about any of them.
They suck.
But first, I stepped into the bathroom, picked up a towel, and wiped the drool from my beard. It wasn't long, however, that I was back at the computer, covered in a deep sense of dread as I thought over what I'd just learned. I had to go over it again in my head just to make sure I understood.
The Comic Book Show will return after these messages.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, back to the Comic Book Show.
According to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, Action Comics number 1, the first appearance of my single most favorite superhero in the whole entire world, was not published on April 18th, 1938, but might have been published on May the 3rd instead. Well, as you can imagine, I was in shock. I wanted to lash out, to sweep the computer monitor from atop the desk in a fit of rage. I mean, my entire belief system had just been shattered, and in order for me to pick up the pieces and move on, I was faced with one of three choices. You know, the three choices I mentioned earlier. That's what I had facing me, and all three of them sucked.
They suck.
My first option was actually fairly simple, at least on the surface. I could ignore Mike's Amazing World of Comics. I could just chalk it up to a simple mistake, move forward with the episode, and tell the world that Action Comics number 1 hit the shelves on April 18th, 1938. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Yeah, if only it were that easy. I mean, what if the website wasn't wrong? I can't give out bad information, folks. I just can't.
I can't do it!
In that case, let's explore option number 2. I could quit. I could just get up, toss my microphone into a garbage can in some dank alley and walk away from podcasting forever. But yeah, come on, that's not gonna happen. I'm in too deep, folks. Podcasting has its claws in me, and I fear it'll never let go. So of course, that leaves me with nothing else, no other options, except option number 3. Oh dear God, not option number 3. Anything but option number 3. Was there no option 4? How about an option 5? You know, I've heard good things in the way of an option 6. Please, God, please, please tell me that there's an option 6. But no, I wasn't fooling anybody, and I certainly wasn't fooling myself. It was option number 3 or nothing. I glanced over at the computer, which suddenly had an air of superiority surrounding it, and I let out a big sigh. Clearly playing for time, I took a series of deep, cleansing breaths. Inhale, and then exhale. I repeated the process over and over as I tried to get my mind right. In an act of desperation, I took another look at options 1 and 2. I mean, I really weighed every other option, which, again, were just the 2. But I threw everything I had into looking both of them over one last time. Now, I know that I said earlier that it was just last night that all of this had started, but I'm afraid that I lied to you. It wasn't last night. It wasn't even last week. It was 7 years ago. Seven years of soul searching, 7 years of long walks, both on a woodland path and along an empty sunny beach. 7 years of watching that big fountain in Las Vegas. You know the one, the fountain that's featured there at the end of Ocean's 11. The George Clooney version, not the original. You know, after they pull off the heist, the crew meet up at the fountain and they just sit there and stare at it, or maybe they're standing, I don't remember. It's been a while. But eventually, one at a time, they all walk away. Remember that scene? That's the fountain I'm talking about. 7 years of sitting and watching that big fountain. 7 years of driving alone at night in the desert. 7 years of sitting on the edge of my bed and staring at the wall. 7 years of accomplishing nothing more than delaying the inevitable. It was finally time to go with option number 3. I had to do the research. But where to start? The answer to that question seemed pretty obvious, and so I went straight to the source, DC Comics. I mean, they published the damn issue. If anyone would know when it was published, surely it would be them.
Don't call me Shirley. Airplane.
So I got off the bed where I'd been sitting and staring at the wall for the last year or so, sat down at the computer, I opened a browser, I went to dccomics.com, and I typed Action Comics 1 into the search bar, only to be met with, wow, 662 results. And Action Comics number 1 was not among them. Well, at least it wasn't on the first 2 pages, and that's about as far as my fortitude will allow me to go when I'm doing research online. But looking at those 662 results, looking through those first 2 pages and not finding what I needed, I let out a little sigh and I thought of a way to narrow those results down just a bit. I could see a list of categories there to the left of my search results, and one of those categories was comic books, which had the number 464 next to it in parentheses. Well, 464 is better than 662. Still not great, but it's a bit better, right? Besides, if I'm going to pull a list of comics using the term Action Comics 1, then Action Comics number 1 should be the first comic on the list, right? With a new sense of hope, I click the category and quickly find out just how wrong I am. What pops up is a page with 20 comics on it. 20 comics that are everything but Action Comics number one. In fact, the first comic on the page is Detective Comics number 1047, and that makes no sense whatsoever. And so, as what remains of my hope shatters and falls to the ground around me, I sigh once more and click over to the second page. But instead of getting another 20 comics, I get 8 comics instead. And furthermore, there is a clear absence of Action Comics number 1 among them. That's when I let out a bigger sigh than any of the sighs I had sighed before, as I realized that I'm going to have to try a different approach. I start thinking that, all right, regardless of the month and the day, Action Comics number 1 landed in 1938. That is not in dispute. So what if I tried searching for Action Comics number 1 with 1938 in parentheses? I give it a try and scratch absently at my chin as the results come in. 9,365 results. I'm going to say that again. 9,365 results. I tried to narrow the search, and I ended up getting 8,703 more results than my initial search. What are you trying to hide, DC? What are you not telling us? I rage around the room for a bit, and then after a good cry, I abandon DCComics.com and give Google a shot instead. Again, I do a search for Action Comics number 1. The first result is the comic book's Wikipedia page, and that tells me that the issue was published on April 18th, 1938. The second result is an article from The Hollywood Reporter dated April 4th, 2024, and the headline reads,
Superman's Action Comics number 1 sets record with $6 million sale.
There is no mention of the publishing date in the article. The third result is the same story from a different website. It's an article from CGC Comics. It was also posted on April 4th, 2024, and that headline reads,
CGC Certified Action Comics number 1 soars to $6 million, setting new record.
Now, this article says that the issue was published in 1938, but that's about as close as they want to get to the truth. So, knowing that I've nearly reached my research tolerance level, I try to narrow down the search a bit more, hoping that I get a better result through Google than I did over at DC's website. This time, I try a search using Action Comics 1 publication release date. This brings back the exact same results, but for one exception. Result number 5 shows the headline,
Was Action Comics number 1 really released on April 18th?
Adrenaline runs through me as I read the headline. This might be exactly what I'm looking for. I click the link, and soon I'm reading through an article on comic book resources from April of 2018. It's one of many installments from a column there on CBR called Comic Book Legends Revealed by Brian Cronin. And here's what I gathered from Brian's article, along with other bits of information I picked up just to get some clarification in the areas of the article that weren't, you know, for my liking, all too specific. Turns out that DC Comics officially considers April 18th, 1938 as the day that Action Comics number 1 first hit the stands. This is why the April 18th date is practically general knowledge in the comic book community, because, again, DC would know, right? Well, turns out no, not really.
That is brand new information!
It seems that the April 18th date was put out there due to a statement made in court by Jack Leibowitz back in 1939. Leibowitz, along with Harry Donenfeld, owned National Allied Publications, a comic book publishing company that would eventually be called DC Comics. See, as the story goes, back in 1939, a rival publisher, Fox Publications, hired Will Eisner to create a superhero character for them, hoping, I can only assume, to grab some of that Superman success. So Eisner created for them a character called Wonder Man, who first appeared in Wonder Comics number 1, published by Fox, with a cover date of May 1939. Wonder Comics, like Action Comics, was an anthology book, and Wonder Man made his first and only appearance in the 14-page story titled The Wonder Man. In the story, Fred Carson, a radio engineer for the International Broadcasting Corporation, travels to Tibet. It's while Carson is in Tibet that he is given a mystical ring by an old monk. A ring that gives Fred super strength, the ability to leap tall buildings, and also makes him bulletproof. And so, donning a red costume with yellow trunks, Fred Carson takes on the name Wonder Man so that he can, well, in his only appearance, he uses his powers to deliver aid to the fictional war-torn nation of Terravania. Well, as you can imagine, the folks over at National couldn't help but notice how similar Wonder Man was to their highly successful character, Superman. And so in 1939, they sued Fox for copyright infringement. In the course of the lawsuit, Jack Leibowitz stated, in regard to Action Comics number one, quote,
"We put that out April 18th, and we left it on sale for about 6 weeks."
So there you go. Straight from the horse's mouth, Action Comics was published on April 18th, 1938. You can't get more confirmation than that, right? Well, if that were true, then where does all the debate come from? Why is that date so hotly contested? Turns out that the date that Leibowitz gave, April 18th, is actually the copyright date of the issue, as reported to the Library of Congress by National Allied Publications. And here's the thing, folks. The date that an issue is copyrighted is not the date that the issue goes on sale. You can't put a book on the shelves until you have that copyright. So it stands to reason that it would have been a week or two after the copyright date that Action Comics number one began appearing on newsstands around the country. In fact, it was actually typical at the time for an issue's on sale date to be 1 to 2 weeks after its copyright date. In the end, there's a lot of good information in Brian Cronin's article. Everything you need to know, except the actual date that Action Comics number one was published. And when I finished reading it, I started to feel like we may never know that true date. Cronin does, however, throw out a theory. Now, if you remember, this all started for me when I looked up the on-sale date over at Mike's Amazing World of Comics. And so when Brian gets to the point of actually discussing the publishing date of Action Comics number one, he says,
"The most likely release date, though, is probably May the 3rd, 1938, as theorized by Mike Voyles of the always amazing, so amazing that it is even in the title, Mike's Amazing World, who noted that Action Comics was released early in the month at the time, and since they were released on Tuesdays, the first Tuesday in May in 1938 was May the 3rd, and hence, May the 3rd, 1938.
Now, full disclosure here, I, myself, haven't been able to find anything in which Mike actually makes note of this theory or where he's blogged about it or anything. But then I get super bored real fast when I can't find something fairly quickly when I'm doing research. But it's a theory that makes total sense, right? Through all of his painstaking research over the years, the late Mike Voyles found that, generally, Action Comics would hit the stands the first publishing day of each month. And since the comic book publishing day back then was Tuesday, and since the issue had a copyright date of April 18th, 1938, the next first Tuesday of the month would land on May the 3rd. So, yeah, for me, that's a theory that holds water. However, if we go back to Comic Book Legends Revealed for just a moment, Cronin also states that of the few surviving copies of Action Comics number one that are still floating around out there today, some of them have dates handwritten on them with pencil somewhere within the issue, and that these dates, all showing sometime in late April of 1938, probably would have been written in these issues by the people working at the stores or the newsstands or wherever as a record-keeping measure to show when the store received the issue, and that back then, quote,
"different stores in different parts of the country got their deliveries on different schedules."
So in the end, what did we learn? Well, I think it's safe to say that no one can really say for sure and for certain that Action Comics number one was published on a particular date. Not at this point. I mean, who knows what someone may uncover in their attic or at a flea market or within their walls. Maybe there's a photograph floating around out there somewhere showing a kid holding up a brand new copy of Action Comics number one. And on the back of that photograph, someone has written,
Jimmy's 10th birthday, May 3rd, 1938. Went to Kirby's Pharmacy on the corner of Siegel and Schuster and picked up the comic book shown. Arrived just as they were unloading it, along with all the other new comics from the truck. Best birthday yet.
That would be a pretty neat find. Unlikely, sure, but pretty neat. For now, however, what we do know is that based on the copyright date, Action Comics number one was not published on April 18th, 1938. Beyond that, your guess is as good as mine. The majority of the comic book industry is sticking with April 18th, and frankly, I can't really blame them. Beyond the June 1938 that's printed on the cover, April 18th, 1938 is the only hard date we have in writing, and it's a date that's on record with the Library of Congress. Though again, it's a record of the issue's copyright date. So if you, dear listener, want to use April 18th, 1938 as the day that Action Comics number one was published, more power to you. I can't blame you. But for me, well, I guess I'm just going to have to be okay with not knowing. Not really. But I think that when I do get around to creating the next episode, my talk on Action Comics number one, when it comes to the publishing date, I'm going to go with Mike's guess that it probably landed on May 3rd, 1938. What about you?
And that concludes our broadcast day.
Next time on the Comic Book Show, Superman saves an innocent woman from execution, takes down a wife beater, rescues Lois Lane, investigates political corruption in Washington, and still manages to maintain his secret identity as Clark Kent, a rookie reporter for the Daily Star. All that, along with his origin story and a scientific explanation of how his powers work, can be found within the 13 pages of Champion of the Oppressed, the first ever Superman story that appeared in Action Comics number one back in 1938. And frankly, I want to tell you all about it in the forthcoming 8th episode of The Comic Book Show, It's All in a Day's Work for Superman. Until then, folks, be nice to each other. Bye.
I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Comic Book Show. Questions and comments can be directed to the Comic Book Show podcast at gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. I also invite you to join our subscription program, Stephen or Else Beyond. And in return, you'll have access to binge full seasons of The Comic Book Show all at once, early and ad-free. You can subscribe to Stephen or Else Beyond through Apple Podcasts, Patreon, or Substack. Check out the link in your show notes, or just go to thecomicbookshowpodcast.com to choose the option that's best for you. The Comic Book Show is a presentation of Stephen or Else Media. For more nerdy content hosted by me, check out stephenorelse.com. The synopsis used in this episode comes from Mike's Amazing World of Comics at mikesamazingworld.com. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hey, and if you've got some old comic books around the house, listen to this. The first comic book to ever feature Superman just sold at auction for $6 million. The 1938 comic book is now the most expensive ever. Heritage Auctions calling it the most important, impactful comic book ever published.
I'm your host. My name is Steven. I'm going to do that one more time. I'm going to do that one more time because that's what I want to do. Hello and welcome. Lost to the world inside a nebulous cloud of impenetrable ambiguity and obscured through it's a tough one to get out. All in an effort to solve the unsolvable. Okay, take a drink, folks. Tom, take a drink. That always gets us right back to where we need to be. Just take that drink. Oh, yeah, that's some good stuff. Oh, yeah, good stuff drinking in the daytime, even though it's not alcohol. When I say drinking in the daytime, you get a picture, don't you? You imagine me sitting on a beach somewhere, a Corona in one hand. Well, here's the thing, people. I hate the beach, and I don't like alcohol, so take that picture out your head. I should probably get back to the episode. Beep-ba-ba-boo-boo-beep-beep-boo-boo. Play the clip. And I suddenly found myself wrapped. And I suddenly found myself wrapped tight. I keep saying myself. There's no T at the end of myself. No, I had to stumble. Stumble. I mean, yeah. Booger, booger, booger. It was also posted. Fuck. And that, it was, fuck.
Just don't think I can move through life knowing that a guy named Steven did this to me.
Oh, but wait, there's Superman. He'll save us. Superman! Superman! Wait, where are you going? Oh, to hell with him.